Dear Dr. Su, thank you and welcome to our Global Social Change Summit. I am absolutely delighted that I got the opportunity to get to know you, have a conversation, and I truly believe that our conversation today, our interview, will be an inspiration to a lot of women who are coming and connecting all around the world, especially in these times, to really stand up what they believe is possible, not even possible, what our responsibility, our duty, and understanding that the time is now and no one else is coming. So I feel really privileged to have the opportunity to talk to you. So thank you.
It is my pleasure to be here. And it is a most amazing time for women on this planet. And this is actually the time that we've been waiting for and we've been preparing for. So the good news is we already have what it takes to be all that we can be in this moment. So I look forward to this conversation as well. I so enjoyed speaking with you in the past, and I know that where we're headed is going to be a very juicy conversation. So I can't wait.
It's very interesting. You said these are the times we've been waiting for and we are prepared. You're the second person from global leaders, female leaders, who told me this. And I just found it very interesting that it does come when we feel it's really challenging. And sometimes you might feel despair, thinking, well, we feel the society is growing and it's evolving and, you know, we're going to be far ahead. And then 2016 events were happening in Western society or, you know, Western democracy where we would not have expected it. And her message was actually the same. She said that these are actually the times we've been developing ourselves for, we've been waiting for, so we can do our work. And her message was that it was very important to have faith and hope. And so I was really curious, what would you say is important for all of us who are experiencing, you know, the events that happened in the US and in the UK, the Brexit, and who've been working all these years to make a difference and move the society to the next level of consciousness and evolution. Wouldn't you say this is a step back? What happened?
Actually, what a step forward looks like. You know, when you're going up steps, there is a step, and then there is a riser, and then there is a step, and then there is a riser, and we're on the riser. These are the things that build the next level of consciousness for us to stand on. And in my work, I describe this as we are an energy system that is designed to be flowing, and that flow is supposed to happen without a wobble. It just a smooth, steady flow is supposed to be happening all the time. And as we step upon circumstances that we are not familiar with articulating ourselves in them, we have to build new neurocircuitry to allow the flow to happen smoothly. And so right now what we are experiencing is a circumstance where there is a new opportunity for us to express ourselves in a way we have never expressed before. And so we're building the neurocircuitry for that to happen. As that circuitry is coming into formulation, we are cutting a swath through the jungle, if you will. And so the energy, let me just say this because we'll probably reference this many times in our conversation, but the energy is designed to come down through the body all the way into the earth. It rises then up from the earth and rises back up through the body and out the top of the head. And it comes and literally cycles around the outside of our body and returns in at the base of our spine and recycles and recycles and recycles and recycles over and over. It's constantly being replenished from overhead, and it's constantly flowing down through us into the earth, and it's constantly rising back up from the earth through us, etc. If along the way, rising up through the body, the energy hits upon something that we're not integrated on, like our personal power or expressing our wisdom or trusting our guts or letting our hearts lead or have a voice, For instance, if it hits upon any of those topics and we're not clear and we're not integrated, it will pick up a wobble. It passes through those areas with more of a disorientation than a smooth stream of flow. That smooth stream of flow actually happens vertically in the body. So when we are at times like this in our culture, it is that the energy of our system, when we have an emotional reaction to what is happening in the world, we don't have the circuits in place to allow that energy to flow without a wobble. So the wobble that we're feeling is because we're building new neuro pathways to express a deep truth that we're actually made of. So it's part of a birthing process. That's what we're in right now. That's all it is. And we know that in a birthing process, the very best thing that you can do is to continue to breathe, to continue to stay present, and to allow what is naturally happening to happen. Sometimes the external environment looks so crazy, it's because it's wobbling, and we're wobbling because we don't know how to be us in the face of this external wobble. So all we have to do is plug into the absolute truth of who we are. So when I said that we're already made of this, this is the time we've been waiting for. This is when we get to actually hear ourselves saying the deep wisdoms that for generations we've been cultivating internally. And women are so powerful at this moment because for generations we've been holding it in, basically. We've been holding our own. We see what people are doing that doesn't look so smart, but they're going to have to do it that way anyway. So we've been collecting wisdom. And so the expression of that wisdom at this time is not only wanted, it is needed. And it's not only needed, it is wanted. It is truly our time to reveal the truths that we know. Our responsibility is to make sure that we address the wobble that we're feeling in here and not do so emotionally, but to find ways to do so in a grounded, integrated, logical, and also intuitive, most importantly, intuitive fashion. So I'll stop there and see where you want to go with this. But
it's interesting that you mentioned the throat and the voice. It's almost as if you felt I've been having this last 2 days. So I feel here.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, how come is that possible? You know, I don't have I don't have anything. And I just feel it here.
Yes.
And so my question also for you is, when you say the vocal, how do you address the vocal in an integrated, intuitive way? What's the best way to address the
world? So there are many, many practices that we can do to allow ourselves to feel stability in the face of a wobble in the outer world. The wobble in the outer world, interestingly, is actually a reflection of the wobble in our inner world, because quantum science is showing us that the outer reality is a reflection of one's inner reality. And so if someone is stressed, wanting to speak their truth, not knowing how to do that, wanting to access their intuition and their wisdom, not knowing how to do that, what happens is, as a byproduct, we reflect into the outer world a reality that looks crazy, that looks unintegrated, that looks like it's full of stuff that doesn't make sense or that doesn't match up. And it looks like it's not integrated. So a wobble coming up through the body creates a distortion in the energy field around the physical body. And when we look out through that distorted energy pattern, we see a distorted world. So the very best way for us to change that distorted world out there is to change the distortion-causing wobble that exists inside our very systems individually, in the throat, in the heart, in the core, in the gut, all through the whole physical body. So how do we do that? Well, I teach workshops on how to do that, because it's a whole learning a holy way of living. But there are some things that we can certainly share today that will start us on a path of being able to feel and sense when we're contributing to the wobble or when we're stabilizing the wobble within ourselves. Because when we stabilize the wobble within ourselves, at the very least, we're going to have a better experience inside when we're out there in that crazy world. But ideally, it is, I would teach this and share this with the intention of people contributing to taking the distortion out of this reality in the shared space between all the people. So the reality in the shared space between all the people looks a little crazy right now at times, and that is because of a collective lack of integration within the human system, individual by individual by individual by individual. So the feminine principle is needed now more than ever, because the feminine principle is holistic, it is nurturing, it is in search of truth, it is willing to hold the space for the right time. It is able to know in an instant if something that's being said is or done is true or in alignment. I mean, you know, the mother always knows, right? The kids can try to make up the story to run it this way or that way, and she just knows. She's just standing there until they work it out, until they get it out of their systems. And so it's that kind of energy that this feminine principle brings that is going to be a huge solution to what's happening in our world. So your question was, what can we do to stabilize that, to stabilize the wobble? What can we do as individuals? So there are a few things. One thing that I would highly recommend is that people learn how to breathe in their belly. Because when we breathe up here, we get all tense up in our upper body. One of the things that happens is we elicit a fight or flight response in our physiology. And when we are in a state of fight or flight and someone does something or says something in the outer world that could be interpreted as threatening, we automatically interpret it as threatening because we're already being a little bit hypervigilant just in case the bear comes through the room that I'm just sure is outside that door. So breathing in the belly, number one. Number one absolutely will allow number two to happen more easily. So first of all, let's make sure everybody knows how to breathe in your belly. When you breathe in your belly, because we think we breathe up here only, we live in our heads. We tend to live right here, from here up. All right, so my job in the world is to get to people to inhabit the rest of their body, to get down into the core. Because healing happens there, leadership comes from there, creative genius resides below your navel. Who knew? Okay, so we have to learn how to operate from this part of our being. So breathing in the belly means you take a deep breath in, your belly gets big, big fat Buddha belly, okay? And then when you exhale, your belly comes back toward your spine. And then when you inhale, your belly gets big. And then when you exhale, the belly comes back toward the spine. So you're kind of pulling the belly in on the exhale. Now that's very different than most people breathe. Most people breathe here. They inhale this way and they exhale this way. They inhale and they exhale. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about low in your belly. You breathe in and your belly gets big. You breathe out and the belly comes back toward your spine. Okay? So that allows you to slow down your mind. When you slow down your breath and you belly breathe. So number one is belly breathe. Number two, slow down your breath. Because when you slow down your breath, you slow down your mind. Now, it doesn't mean you're not going to be rapid thinking and being able to come up with answers as fast as you need to. Trust me, answers that will make a difference in the world will come to you when you slow down your mind. Because when you're hypervigilantly looking for the bear, it's pretty much guaranteed that you're thinking all kinds of scenarios. And if you would accidentally take action on one of those, you're likely to create a world you don't like living in. Okay? So So these are some basic things. I'll stop there and just review and then ask you where you want to go from here. But basically, breathe in your belly, slow down your breath because it will slow down your mind and allow you to come into contact with a different wave. You want to ride a different wave. The wave that you want to be riding is one of creative expression, one of true absolute wisdom, not temporal, circumstantial, situational evidence, because that's all relative. What's happening in our outer world right now is relative. It's not the absolute. It's temporary. It will be inflammatory, and then it will settle. And then it will be inflammatory, and then it will settle. That's the way the universe operates. It operates in expansion and contraction. Right now, we're in a state of contraction, and it's going to allow us to hit the riser and actually build a new platform to step up onto and allow ourselves to experience ourselves at a higher level of consciousness. So tell me, my dear, where would you like to go from here?
No, I found it fascinating when you talk about the breathing, you know, in the belly. I used to be a flutist, and I remember that's when I was trained, and even my teacher was measuring my shoulders, making sure they're not moving, you know?
Yes, none of this.
Yes, right. It was like, you know, it couldn't move, and I forgot about it over the years, so thank you for reminding me.
Yes. You know, we've always been attracted to the things that are going to make a true difference in the world. And that's when I say, this is a time we've been waiting for. Something like what you're just describing. You were attracted to being taught to play the flute. And in playing the flute, you learned how to breathe in the fashion that I'm talking about. You've been collecting data. What you've been collecting, the tools, all the skills, they're all inside of us. We just have to connect the dots and recognize that something I learned how many years ago, a few years ago, to play the flute, all right, actually has been contributing to, if I pull that back up into the present, if I pull these skills forward, I will recognize I've always been attracting the things that I'm going to need in the whole of my life. And you are sitting there as a collection of wonderful tools. You know, what we have to do now is awaken to the tools that we've already cultivated. We have it. We don't need to seek and to search and to scrapple for something that feels sane in a crazy world right now. We need to honor the truth of who we have already become. And when we stand as that, we become the absolute standing presence that while this relative world is just doing all of its expansions and contractions and expansions and contractions, here we stand and we get it. And that is the feminine principle right there. It's this ever-present, unwavering, absolute truth. And it is alive and well in every one of us. We just have to connect our minds to that and identify as that so that we don't get caught up in this with our own minds and think that there's something crazy going on.
No, I totally get that. And I think it's my experience sometimes, and I would imagine other, and my experience from working with you and all around the world, you know, when you are so committed to speak the truth and make a difference and like really feel your heart, you want to serve, and the circumstances are not shifting, right, or not changing, or sometimes even going negative, it's easier, right, to give up your experience of being at peace and be relaxed and have a grounded presence. But there was also something I really liked when I listened to some of your videos and recordings when I was getting to know you. And you know, in my experience as a change maker, and you probably have the same, I realized after listening to you, there is a level of development I need to go to as well, because it's by definition I'm going to push new boundaries. It's by definition I'm going into uncharted territories. So if somewhere unconsciously I feel threatened all the time, then I'm not really going to be really, like you say, that present, that peace, because subconsciously I'm experiencing fear or anxiety, and I might not even realize. So it gave me like place to breathe, realize, no, man, you know, by definition, given who you are, you're just standing for, you're going to push boundaries. you going into breakdowns, you're going to, you know, push the frontier. So how can you experience peace all the time? Or how can you create a way of being or techniques that you can have this presence instead of feeling unconsciously always unrested? Because, you know, when you have that goal, it's always soaking out. There is always a lot, you know, to go for.
Yes.
So I think I imagine other people experience it similar.
You bet. It's the human condition. That's what we're here to do. What you're asking about is what we incarnate. We come into a body to have the developmental evolution that you're describing right now. That's why we're here. So if we know that that's why we're here, we can start to relax a little bit and recognize, oh, okay, so the name of the game is actually to be at peace in the middle of chaos, so that I'm not trying to create peace in my surroundings so that I can feel peaceful, but that I can identify as the peace that can go into any circumstance and bring myself there, bring my peaceful, loving presence into any situation. Then I don't mind if it's crazy out there or if it's peaceful out there, because I get that I'm here to bring the peace, to be the bringer of it. So, you know, people will say it's easier to be at peace when your surroundings are peaceful. But I want you to know that when you are identifying as that individual, you are selling yourself short. You are short-sighting what you're going to be able to experience as a human being. It is time for us to redefine what it means to be human. What it means to be human is to be associated much more with creatorship than we have previously associated ourselves. We are not at the effect of our environment. Science is teaching us that we're not at the effect of our environment, but that rather we create reality based upon the types and the quality of the thoughts that we hold in our conscious minds and in our subconscious reality, in our subconscious recording studio. In what we hold as those possibilities is what is reflected back to us from the outer world. So we have to change our identity from being at the effect of our environment to being the creator of our environment. When I identify as the creator of my environment, I recognize that I have the opportunity to bring peace into any situation. So if I learn and develop myself as creator, then I begin to see these times as an opportunity to express myself as the peaceful warrior, if you will, or the peaceful being that can cut a swath through anything. And no matter what happens in the outer world, to maintain my identity as that stabilizing presence that is here constantly, absolutely, no matter, regardless of my external circumstances. So let me kind of reframe this. Our job is to master our internal environment, regardless of our external circumstances. When we master our internal environment, regardless of our external circumstances, we have developed ourselves in a certain way. Then the next stage of development is to learn how to lovingly and unconditionally and persuasively, all at the same time, bring that, express that out into the world, so that we're not just one individual, peaceful, isolated here, but that we're engaging and exchanging and meeting each other in that same way. When we do that, we start to pull that out of other people. We start to pull it forward and cultivate it and bring it when we come out as that stabilizing presence. So let me say this. When we land here on Earth, we kind of splat. We kind of like splat And our minds go one way, our bodies go another way, our breath goes another way, our soulful self is hanging out somewhere back there, just waiting to see if it's safe to show up all the way here, or if I should just keep one toe in the river and the rest of me kind of not really here yet. And that's kind of how we live life. And we wonder why we feel so dispersed. And it's because we've splatted and we haven't pulled ourselves back together again. So what we have to do in the course of our lives is pull our mind, our body, and our breath back together so that our minds can feel supported. Because when we splat, and we develop this personality out here in this splatted state, we are in a protective state and we are defensive and we are afraid and we feel alone and we feel isolated. And what we have to do is start to pull our resources back together again so that we can feel that there is a, so that the mind can feel that it is not alone. That the mind can feel that it can stabilize itself a little bit more. And when the mind and the body and the breath come together and they slow down, they start to operate in synchronization. And when they're operating in synchronization, then what happens is there is a greater sense of self and a greater sense of strength. When this occurs, we are able to feel peace. The reason that we don't feel peace prior to that is because of this dispersed state, and the untethered mind begins to write stories about its lack of stability and stories about how scary the world is and how hard it is to be ourselves in these kinds of circumstances. Yeah. So we have to put it all together again.
I totally get that. And, when I started working with more with women leaders and change makers, I got to know, because previously I used to be in investment banking, very business-driven environment. And the more I started to get to know the change makers, even when they had a brand on a national level or international, I could see how also, exhausted they were, because they were fighting this reality, working for the NGOs, but they were not really experiencing peace and vitality and high level of energy. So they were not always bringing what their cause was about. So it looked to me more like they were more reacting with something that they were fighting against or trying to fix instead of creating or standing for something. So it looked more like they were reactivists instead of activists. So my question to you, how do we develop ourselves to be the creative activist or evolutionary activist or societal activist that really can move society, as you say, now, that level that we've been waiting for? What are the qualities compared to the ones I described before? Because I think a lot of women will recognize themselves in that.
So often the individual who was splatted and dispersed, they felt afraid, and yet they were in observation of the world, doing things that maybe weren't loving or weren't kind or weren't inclusive or weren't the way that we would love our societies to be able to operate. And because of that, they began to take notes internally. And they wanted to make a difference, so they would step out and take a stand. And this is what you're describing. They were reacting to actually frustrations or angers that have been withheld, not expressed, not integrated, and not able to flow. Anything that stops our energy flow ultimately will contribute to a degree of frustration, angst, or even anxiety. And ultimately that will lead to exhaustion because they're out there fighting a fight. And reality is based in unity. This absolute is built in unity. This world out here in relativity is based in duality. And so it's only in duality that there is a fight to fight. If we are willing to stand in unity, and march for what we believe in, not march against something. March for the common ground, march for the common good, take a stand for what is possible, not fight back against what is wrong, perceived as wrong. When we're willing to do that, we will truly step in to our purpose on the planet as live, awake, leading, conscious women at this time. And this feminine principle can certainly be alive and well in men too. It's not about men versus women. It's about feminine versus masculine energy. And it is time for that feminine wisdom to rise up in everyone, men and women alike. So the reason exhaustion comes from the activist or in the activist's life is because so often their actions have been built on fighting back. And, you know, the mother never fought back if she was wise enough. She didn't get involved with the arguments of the teenage girl or boy who was building their case for why they should have life the way they think they should have it. My mother, she never said a word then. She didn't get in the fight with any of us. She was this, okay? So that's what we have to be. The feminine wisdom that is loving and that is kind, that is also fierce and that is also clear. And I am wanting to impress upon everyone today that you have that in you. And if you will draw from that part of you, instead of the one that is angry because they haven't had a voice, or the one that is angry because they haven't been treated equally, or they haven't been given the opportunities that others have been given, that if we act from that place, we're only going to perpetuate the fight. And no one wins that fight. No one wins that fight in the long run. And rather, if we're willing to stand for what we know is possible and model it, especially in a moment when we're being called to fight back, but just model what is possible. Just continue on as if the outer world that's in a wobble and is acting crazy at this time, as if they weren't acting crazy. Just continue to show them how it can be done. You know, this is a principle I have followed all of my life, and I have all of my adult life, I should say. And what has happened in reflection is my world has unfolded. I travel the world constantly, teaching people all over the world about how to have a grace-filled life, about how to live from your soulful self. And it isn't because I had an amazing marketing strategy. It isn't because I met all the right people who gave me the right connections and I finagled my way into that. It came by invitation. I wasn't even expecting it. It came out of the corner of my eye and then another one and another one, because I'm operating in this way that I'm sharing with you today. And I know that it is what each of us is made of. And it's effortless, it is easy, it is grace-filled, and it is beautiful, and it is flowing, and it is strong and unwavering and very clear. And we have the ability to be all of those things at the same time. The key is to tap in to the absolute part of you, to that portion of you that is unwavering, the part of you that has been there all along through your whole life. It's been with you through every experience you have had. That part of you is alive and well and ready to speak. It's about speaking now, actioning. You know, this throat that you mentioned is our manifester. It's how we speak the truth. It is also how we hear the truth, that the mind has to hear the soulful self and its truth. And that's this absolute that I'm talking about. And as we're developing the circuitry to listen to our gut, to our core, to this deep truth within, and to live that out loud, then we're going to have experiences with the throat. We're going to have experiences with the neck and the shoulders as this true self starts to stand for what is sane and unwavering and unwobbling. And as we have practice, which, you know, these times are perfect practice times for us. It's the perfect practice ground for us to develop our ability to speak stabilizing truths into the wobble, and to do so without a wobble ourselves. An example of a wobble ourselves is to fight back. An example of a stabilizing presence is to speak with love and kindness and model the change that you would love to see in the world. So,
thank you. I'm starting to feel the privilege of living in these accelerated times. So it's definitely an accelerated way of integrating and standing, you know, and being grounded, as you say. And so 2017, and feminine leadership and women making difference. And I know that feminine leadership is available to men and women as well. What would you say is the focus for us women, you know, who are standing for what's possible, developing ourselves, who have been developing ourselves all these years? What would you say is the focus and the direction for us for 2017, given what happened in 2016, given, you know, what you feel for this year?
You bet. So 2017 is a year of creatorship. Ironically, and this is the conversation that we're having, numerologically, the year 2017 boils down to a number one. Let me say it this way, a number one. Okay. So in the number one, creatorship, union, initiative, taking initiative, developing the voice for the wise, the wisdom, the unifying principle is the number one. So everything that we've been talking about is more supported in 2017 from a natural, astrological, cosmic energy level. There has never been a better time for you to stand as a creator and bring out what you've always wanted to be, what you've always wanted to do, what you've always wanted to experience. So let me give you an example. As a child, I was extremely shy. So shy, I slept in my closet because I only had to look one direction. I had three walls around me. I only had to look out the doorway. I was the kid in the pictures who was hiding behind my mom's legs or behind her skirt, literally. So the fact that I travel around the world and speak to 90,000 people live at one time, or to be on live interviews or all kinds of circuits, blows my mind that is what I do. But somewhere in between that shy child that slept in her closet and today, along the way, I also had an inkling that I was bringing something to the world. And I didn't know what it was, but all along the way, through all the trials and tribulations of junior high and high school and college and all of in my career, all of it, somewhere in the back of my mind, I knew that there was stuff I knew. Even if my surface level in the splat and the dispersed version of myself had myself convinced that I was inadequate or that I was insecure or that I was not enough in some way, and all the other masks that I put on over time, underneath it all, there was a truth that I knew that I was bringing a gift to the world. And I know that this is true about every single person that is watching this interview. I know that it's true about every single human being. And I know that women, people who choose to incarnate as a woman at that particular time in their soulful evolution, are doing so because of the specific energies that they will cultivate as a soulful being by being a woman. Okay? So here you are, possibly as a woman watching this interview, possibly sharing this with men. But the bottom line is this: the energy of 2017 boils down to the energy of creative expression birthing itself. It's the birth of a new cycle in your life. It's a birth in the new cycle of your soulful evolution, not just this life. So what I would suggest is a really good idea to do this year is for you to let out of you what has been in there your whole life. In your whole life, what's been inside of you has been a desire to express and to share something. The most powerful time in your adult life is right now, is this year. And you're at the beginning of the year, which is where the birthing happens anyway. So you're at the birth of a year of birthing, okay? It's doubled up in your favor to be everything that you always wanted to be. So my suggestion is that you take the nudge from nature and allow this to be your time, because it is. It's your time. It's your time to go ahead and say it out loud, to go ahead and write it down, to go ahead and lean into someone at lunch and say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and take this step this year. I'm going to go ahead and let myself try. Because as it turns out, as a soulful self, you have nothing to lose. It's only the relative personality that thinks it has something to gain or lose or strategize about right timing and all that stuff. It's time. It's now. And it's right here begging you to do your thing. That's what your life is asking of you. Just do your thing. So I would say the year of 2017 is the year for you to awaken as the creator that you truly are. That's what I have to say about that.
Wow, thank you. Thank you. I truly enjoyed it. And it altered my experience. And the view I look at 2017, there is real opportunity and privilege and to move forward and to really use that creative year at the beginning of the year to really be our authentic voice and to standing out and speaking out will be culminating, you know, like you said, inside. Finally, whether it's in our relationship, in our families, in our communities, in our society, for the world. So, thank you. Thank you very much. I truly enjoyed this conversation. And I invite everyone who is listening to our conversation to go and look at Dr. Sue's landing page, specific speaker's landing page on our summit. There is a lot of information about Dr. Sue, her website, other links. And let yourself be inspired, connect with her, and well, let's grow and express our voice together for 2017. Thank you.
Absolutely. My great, great pleasure. Blessings to you all. Thank you.